In the competitive modeling industry, where there is no shortage of attractive young women, being 23 and having two kids could really hurt your career prospects. That's the reason the main suspect in today's case gave for killing her friend, who was like a sister to her. Their friendship turned sour. They both worked as models, but the victim made her friend angry by reportedly spreading rumors that she already had children. It was true, but it still bothered her. This makes you wonder, was holding a petty grudge against a friend really enough reason to arrange for her assault and murder? This is the story of Julie Ann Rodelas, a case that got solved because of, unexpectedly, a cheeseburger receipt. Let's get right into the case. On November 6, 2012, just past midnight, two young women were walking down Macapagal Boulevard in Pasay City, Philippines. One of them, wearing blue leggings and a tank top, was excited about a potential modeling job. They had just come out of a movie, and she was feeling great. But her mood changed fast when a black vehicle pulled up next to them. A man jumped out and quickly dragged her into the dark SUV. Her friend was left behind on the sidewalk, where the police later found her and took her to a nearby station for questioning. Just before dawn, that same vehicle, a black Mitsubishi Montero Sport, was seen on 18th Avenue in Cubao, Quezon City. Shots were fired on the busy street next to a school. That's when locals saw something that would be all over the news for days. The body of a young woman in the tank top, who had been kidnapped earlier, was thrown out of the car onto the concrete as it drove off. She was dead, her eyes wide open in shock, lying in the gutter with a plastic bag in her hands covered in gunshot wounds. Residents quickly took note of the SUV's license plate, TWO505. The day after the victim was discovered, her family stepped forward to identify her at the morgue. Julie Ann Rodelas, just 20 years old, had been abducted by unknown men, murdered, and left on a street, all within a few hours. Julie Ann, affectionately known as Jaja to her family and friends, was a lively and talkative girl with big ambitions. She wanted to finish her education, but had to drop out 3 times because of her family's financial struggles. Despite being the youngest sibling, she was incredibly hardworking. Jaja aimed to work overseas after getting her degree to help her family. From a young age, she was aware of her responsibilities. Balancing work and study, she became a freelance model and part-time TV talent for ABS-CBN. She was determined to achieve her goals, whatever it took. While the investigation into her disappearance was underway, in another part of Manila, Jaja's mother, Luz Rodelas, was extremely worried. Jaja hadn't returned home the previous night. She had told her mom she was going to school and then meeting her friend Althea Altamirano for a potential TV job. Despite feeling uneasy, Luz let her go since she was with Althea, a close friend from high school and someone Jaja looked up to. Jaja's association with Althea had kickstarted her part-time modeling career, helping her earn for college where she was studying hotel and restaurant management. These modeling jobs sometimes meant Jaja wouldn't return to their home in Las Piñas City for a couple of nights, but her mother assumed she was safe with Althea, who was older and whom they called twins due to their closeness. Althea, a rising star in modeling and once Girlfriend of the Month in FHM magazine in 2010, had introduced Jaja to the modeling world. Jaja's brother, Alvin, recalled, "When Jaja tells our mother that she would be home, she really would come home, and that's what she said when she bid us goodbye that Monday night." Tragically, they were unaware it would be the last time they saw their youngest. When Alvin identified his sister's body in the morgue, their mother, Luz, was inconsolable. She felt as if a part of her died with Jaja. The sight of her daughter in such a terrible condition was overwhelming. Luz remembered Jaja as one of the kindest people, undeserving of such brutality. Reports revealed that Jaja had been sexually assaulted and then shot multiple times in her temple, left cheek, left shoulder, and right thigh. She was discarded on the street as if she were nothing. Initially, there were no personal items to identify her. All she had was a plastic bag, tightly clutched in her hand, containing a cheeseburger and fries, along with a receipt from a fast food restaurant. The Quezon City Police inquired about Jaja's activities in the last 24 hours from the Rodelas family. That's when Althea's name came up. Althea had reported Jaja's abduction at a Pasay City police station, but hadn't informed Jaja's family the next day. Althea stated that around 12:30 a.m. on November 6, while waiting for a taxi to the World Trade Center, an SUV appeared and two men abducted Jaja. Overwhelmed, she failed to note the car's plate number. Although the police responded to the abduction swiftly, they lost the suspects due to Althea's incorrect vehicle description. This led to the belief that if Althea had provided accurate information that night, Jaja might still be alive. The investigation took a turn when the police followed a different lead, the cheeseburger receipt in Jaja's hand. They visited the McDonald's, where the receipt showed a purchase at 2:33 a.m. on November 6. The CCTV footage revealed a tall, tattooed man buying the meal, later identified as Althea's boyfriend. Fernando Kiambao Jr., often called JR, was known for driving Althea home in a black Montero Sport. The QC police, becoming more suspicious as Althea grew elusive, went to her house. They questioned her neighbors, and one witness mentioned frequently seeing a dark Montero SUV dropping Althea off with a license number TWO-505. This was the same number reported by witnesses in Cubao. The police traced the car's ownership, leading to JR's mother's name. The police were piecing everything together. They staked out Althea's residence for days. On the third day, they followed a vehicle from there to Pampanga, leading to JR's ancestral home, where Althea and JR were hiding. The infamous SUV was parked in the driveway. On that Saturday evening, the lead inspector of Jaja's case spotted a girl in a nipa hut, which is a house made from bamboo. Unsure if it was Althea, he called her name. She responded with po, which is the polite version of saying yes in the Philippine language, confirming her identity. The couple was arrested and taken to Camp Caringal in Quezon City. JR denied any involvement in the crime, but Althea broke down, accused JR, and cried that the murder was meant to be a harsh lesson that went too far. In interviews, Althea wept, apologizing to her deceased friend and insisting she never intended for Jaja to die. Although they appeared close, in public, behind the scenes, they were frenemies. Althea admitted to holding a grudge against Jaja for revealing her secret about having two children, which caused her to lose job opportunities. Angered and feeling disrespected, Althea turned to her boyfriend, JR, a 32-year-old businessman and tattoo shop owner, for advice. He suggested they teach Jaja a lesson. Althea, in tears, told the media she didn't expect JR and his men to sexually assault and murder Jaja. Althea claimed she only agreed to the plan because JR convinced her of his expertise and that he never messed up such jobs. He had connections, even hitmen, to help them. Their intention, she said, was only to cripple her. When JR and his men took Jaja, Althea panicked. She said that she wanted to go back and drag the poor girl back to safety. Althea admitted her role in Jaja's abduction, but blamed JR for escalating the situation to a more horrific level. After the abduction, she called JR from the Pasay City Police Station, where she was taken after being seen crying on the street. She reported the abduction against JR's orders to stay silent. For days, Althea played the innocent friend, even posting on her Facebook several more photographs of herself and Jaja, as if to tell the world that they were so close that she would never hurt her friend. The trend of suspects using social media to cover up their crimes is becoming a subtle yet effective way for criminals to throw off investigators and mislead the public. The police, in this case, weren't convinced by Althea's statements and became increasingly suspicious. Their doubts were further fueled by a video recorded by a reporter right after Jaja's abduction. In the footage, Althea didn't appear upset at all. She was calm and composed, even knowledgeable enough to mislead the investigation. She purposely left out crucial information and even provided an incorrect description of the vehicle involved. This behavior cast doubt on Althea's public display of grief. When she was seen crying in public, many people, especially on social media, questioned the authenticity of her tears. Some called them crocodile tears, implying they were insincere and just for show. JR led police to a safe house to arrest his accomplices. There, the police apprehended Jaymar Waraji, 22, Jelan Pasawilan, 28, at the Salam compound in Barangay Culiat. Pasawilan was arrested for carrying firearms unrelated to Jaja's case. Another suspect, Fahad Usman, was killed in a police encounter. Baraji's statement was crucial, providing missing details. He described the events leading to Jaja's tragic end. The plot was devised the day before Jaja's abduction. JR visited the Salam Muslim compound and discussed his girlfriend's issues with Waraji and Efren Talib, seeking their assistance. Waraji agreed to help JR, motivated not by money, but by gratitude. He felt indebted to JR, who had been kind to him, often treating him to expensive liquor and fine dining. Waraji stated in his sworn testimony that Muslims value gratitude highly, willing to repay kindness with their lives. However, he insisted that while he participated in the abduction, he was not involved in Jaja's murder. To corroborate Waraji's statement, the police found footage of the three men dining in a restaurant at around 9 p.m., just hours before Jaja was abducted nearby. After their meal, they returned to the vehicle, driven by JR, who received a message from Althea about the movie ending and that she and Jaja were waiting for a taxi. She had convinced Jaja that they were meeting a talent manager that night. Around 12:30 a.m., they approached the two girls. Talib got out and dragged Jaja into the SUV. Throughout the journey, Jaja was blindfolded to prevent her from identifying her captors and remained silent. The men had agreed not to use their real names, but Waraji accidentally called JRJ, revealing his identity to Jaja. She recognized the nickname and pleaded with JR, apologizing for the rumors and begging for release. JR was furious at Waraji for the mistake, a slip that would ultimately lead to Jaja's death. Upon reaching the warehouse, Jaja was taken to a room, and Waraji was instructed by Talib to stay outside. During this time, Althea called JR, informing him that she was at the Pasay City Police Station, prompting him to leave. Waraji heard Jaja crying and pleading from inside the room while she was being sexually assaulted by Talib. Later, Waraji took a nap at his house nearby, but was awakened by a lookout who informed him that Aldous had arrived. It turned out that Talib texted him that there was a beautiful girl in the safe house. Waraji found Jaja in a room with Aldous, who had a .45 caliber pistol pointed at her. He was upset because Talib had assaulted Jaja and Aldous intended to do the same. Waraji confronted them, reminding them that JR had entrusted them with Jaja and that sexual assault was not part of their plan. Aldous dismissed Raji's concerns about harming Jaja, asking why he was making a big deal out of it. When Raji confronted him, trying to assert his authority, Aldous retorted that it didn't matter, as they were going to dispose of her anyway. Aldous proceeded, and Jaja was assaulted a second time that night. Later, JR returned with a McDonald's bag containing a cheeseburger meal, which he had bought while picking up Althea from the police station. He handed the bag to Raji. Raji, wanting to check on Jaja, used the food as an excuse to enter the room, telling Aldous it was for her. He informed Aldous that JR was back, but Aldous responded indifferently, saying he was finished with Jaja. The McDonald's bag, which unknowingly contained a crucial receipt, was given to Jaja. Aldous told Jaja to eat, saying she would be taken home afterwards. But Jaja, likely in shock and eager to return home, declined the food, asking to be let go. She believed her ordeal was nearly over, unaware that JR had already instructed Talib and Aldous to kill her. Clinging to the cheeseburger, she was put back into the SUV. Raji did not join the others when they took Jaja on her final journey. Upon their return, Aldous told him that he had shot Jaja once in the head inside the SUV, and Talib had then fired additional shots. They dumped her body and fled the scene. The initial plan to merely injure Jaja escalated into a shoot-to-kill order once she recognized JR. What was meant to be a lesson ended in a horrific murder. The suspects were charged with murder, and additionally, Talib and Aldous were charged with sexual assault. However, both of them have managed to evade capture and remain at large. The trial began on February 12, 2013. Pasawalan was eventually cleared of involvement in Jaja's murder, but faced charges for illegal possession of firearms. Tragically, he was fatally shot inside his home in June 2013. And his wife declined a police investigation into his death. Raji cooperated as a state witness, providing sketches of the two fugitives. Jaja's mother forgave him, acknowledging that he wasn't present at the murder and contributed significantly to the investigation. The defense lawyers tried to stop the trial, arguing that their clients were arrested illegally. But the trial judge didn't buy it, ruling that there was enough probable cause and the arrests were valid, leading to the continued detention of the couple in Quezon City Jail. The couple sought a reconsideration, but the Court of Appeals backed up the trial judge's decision. They tried again, but the final word came from the Supreme Court in March 2022, which also denied their request. This whole legal back and forth stretched over a decade, and now the trial is set to proceed. Jaja's family and their legal team are staying hopeful. They believe that, despite the slow grind of the justice system, the strong evidence against Althea and JR will hold up against any attempts to delay the trial further. For now, Althea and JR are still in the Quezon City Jail, waiting for the trial to wrap up. Jaja's murder has also reignited calls from anti-crime groups for the reinstatement of the death penalty as a deterrent against such brutal crimes. The difficulty in capturing murderers, along with weak gun law enforcement, seem to have emboldened the emergence of contract killers. Thankfully, in Jaja's case, the Quezon City Police were effectively in control of the situation. And regarding Althea, we can't help but wonder that her claim that she was unaware her boyfriend intended to kill Jaja and only wanted to teach her a lesson appears dubious. Considering the calculated nature of the crime and the involvement of hired individuals, her statement seems implausible. We won't be sure until the verdict comes out, but it is possible that she might be attempting to minimize her involvement in the incident. And also, regarding Althea's claims, Jaja's mother firmly denied that Jaja would spread rumors. She questioned why Jaja would do such a thing, especially since she owed Althea for helping her get into a modeling agency, and even looked up to her. Luz Rodelas, Jaja's mother, suggested that Althea might have been jealous because Jaja was receiving more modeling opportunities. Luz expressed disbelief and distress over the idea that even if Jaja had spread a rumor, it was in no way a justification for losing her life over something as trivial as gossip. Jaja's mother expressed her anger and grief by wishing a harsh fate for Althea in prison. An attempt to teach a lesson spiraled tragically out of control, and now, ironically, it's Althea, JR, and their accomplices who find themselves learning a hard lesson. Our hearts go to Jaja, whose life was cut short at such a young age, full of potential and promise. Her story is a reminder of the senseless loss and pain that can result from reckless actions and misguided intentions. That's all for today. Thanks for watching.